Observing new thought brings new thought to your fingertips. Hello, welcome to a Divine Waves production sponsored by Serving New Thought. Visit www.newthoughtlibrary.com. These digital recordings are part of an ongoing series empowering people around the world with high-quality readings of seminal New Thought classics. Special thanks to the Mana Group of Florida for their wonderful support to purchase equipment. Now, we present the Edinburgh Lectures, read by Dr. Michael Spottiswood, the voice of Thomas Troward.
Chapter 3. The Unity of the Spirit. We have now paved the way for understanding what is meant by the unity of the Spirit. In the first conception of Spirit, as the underlying origin of all things, we see a universal substance which, at this stage, is not differentiated into any specific forms. This is not a question of some bygone time, but subsists at every moment of all time in the innermost nature of all being. And when we see this, we see that the division between one specific form and another has below it a deep essential unity, which acts as the supporter of all the several forms of individuality arising out of it. And as our thought penetrates deeper into the nature of this all-producing spiritual substance, we see that it cannot be limited to any one portion of space, but must be limitless as space itself, and that the idea of any portion of space where it is not is inconceivable. It is one of the most intuitive perceptions from which the human mind can never get away, that this primordial, all-generating, living spirit must be commensurate with infinitude, and we can therefore never think of it as otherwise than as universal or infinite. Now, it is a mathematical truth that the infinite must be a unity. You cannot have two infinites, for then neither would be infinite. Each would be limited by the other. Nor can you split the infinite into fractions. The infinite is mathematically essential unity. This is a point on which too much stress cannot be laid, for there follow from it the most important consequences. Unity, as such, can be neither multiplied nor divided, for either operation destroys the unity. By multiplying, we produce a plurality of units of the same scale as the original, and by dividing, we produce a plurality of units of a smaller scale, and a plurality of units is not unity, but multiplicity. Therefore, if we would penetrate below the outward nature of the individual to that innermost principle of his being, from which his individuality takes its rise, we can do so only by passing beyond the conception of individual existence into that of the unity of universal being. This may appear to be a merely philosophical abstraction, but the student who would produce practical results must realize that these abstract generalizations are the foundation of the practical work he is going to do.
You're listening to the Edinburgh Lectures, read by Dr. Michael Spottiswood, the voice of Thomas Troward. Audio downloads of this and other wonderful New Thought classics are available through www.divinewaves.com, and the books are available for study at www.newthoughtlibrary.com.
Now, the great fact to be recognized about a unity is that because it is a single unit, wherever it is at all, the whole of it must be. The moment we allow our mind to wander off to the idea of extension in space and say that one part of the unit is here and another is there, we have descended from the idea of unity into that of parts or fractions of a single unit, which is to pass into the idea of a multiplicity of smaller units, and in that case we are dealing with the relative, or the relation subsisting between two or more entities, which are therefore limited by each other, and so have passed out of the region of simple unity, which is the absolute. It is, therefore, a mathematical necessity that, because the originating life principle is infinite, it is a single unit, and consequently, wherever it is at all, the whole of it must be present. But because it is infinite, or limitless, it is everywhere, and therefore it follows that the whole of spirit must be present at every point in space at the same moment. Spirit is thus omnipresent in its entirety, and it is accordingly logically correct that at every moment of time, all spirit is concentrated at any point in space we may choose to fix our thought upon. This is a fundamental fact of all being, and it is for this reason that I have prepared the way for it by laying down the relation between spirit and matter as that between idea and form. On the one hand, the absolute, from which the elements of time and space are entirely absent, and on the other, the relative, which is entirely dependent on those elements. This great fact is that pure spirit continually subsists in the absolute, whether in the corporeal body or not, and from it all the phenomena of being flow, whether on the mental plane or the physical. The knowledge of this fact regarding spirit is the basis of all conscious spiritual operation, and therefore, in proportion to our increasing recognition of it, our power of producing outward visible results by the action of our thought will grow. The whole is greater than its part. And therefore, if by our recognition of this unity we can concentrate all spirit into any given point at any moment, we may thereby include any individualization of it that we may wish to deal with. The practical importance of this conclusion is too obvious to need enlarging upon. Pure spirit is the life principle considered apart from the matrix in which it takes relation to time and space in particular form. In this aspect, it is pure intelligence, undifferentiated into individuality. As pure intelligence, it is infinite responsiveness and susceptibility. As devoid of relation to time and space, it is devoid of individual personality. It is therefore, in this aspect, a purely impersonal element, upon which, by reason of its inherent intelligence and susceptibility, we can impress any recognition of personality that we will. These are the great facts that the mental scientist works with, and the student will do well to ponder deeply on their significance and on the responsibilities which their realization must necessarily carry with it.
We trust you are enjoying this Divine Waves production of Thomas Troward's Edinburgh Lectures. Please consider supporting our efforts to bring you additional New Thought classics in audio format. Contributions can be made at servingnewthought.org/donations.htm.